Good morning. Welcome to New Crossing Church. And so I'm going to do something a little different this morning. There's always bullet outlines in your bulletin of the message. You can get them online if you're watching that way. And this is a message topic on hearing God's voice that I want to make sure everybody has this outline. So raise your hand and Diane will get you. She's back there waiting for anyone. Or Pawnee. Done. Great. Okay. It's great when you listen to the Holy Spirit and me. It's like, what's the deal this morning? It's like, by the way, everyone's seated on this side. I don't know, Lisa. Are you chopped liver? And like Jill said, it's been quite the week, and it's fascinating that in 2 years, nobody got COVID from someone else on Sunday mornings, and then common cold takes us half the church out this week. And I guess the point is we still need Jesus. And so I, too, got wiped out, and I'm not contagious anymore, I don't think. But the last part of for me is the tickle of the throat. So I got pockets full of lozenges. I got water up here, and I've been drinking NyQuil all week, and so I apologize for anything I might say, and I cannot be held accountable for it. It might be the NyQuil and not Jesus. But I did the best I can. And in all seriousness, we're in this series on prayer, prayer upward. We pray upward to the Lord. We pray inward. We seek him in our prayers, and we pray outward to bless others. And today's message is hearing the shepherd's voice. And I'm going to kind of anchor it in John 10 for the most part. We'll move around. But this is one of those messages that topics. We want everyone to hear the voice of God, and everyone can. And so this is something that we address and speak to every once in a while, and how much more so in a series on prayer. So does God still speak to us? It may seem obvious to you, but there is the kind of teaching out there that God spoke through the patriarchs in the Old Testament. He spoke through the apostles in the New Testament. And he gave us the scriptures, canonized Bible. And now he's done. We have everything we need from him. We have Jesus and we have the Bible. And so I'm simplifying it. But I just want you to know that in what world would God desire to speak with those who will listen in the Old Testament and change lives, change nations, and then want to so much have communion with us. And communion is the spiritual intimacy. It's a conversation. It's a relationship. And he has that with apostles in the New Testament and then says, okay, I'm now leaving after he all built up to Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising again and Jesus giving his Holy Spirit. And it's like, that's not the kind of theology I want to carry in my heart, because that's not the kind of God I know. Amen. Why do we need to hear his voice? Why do we need to hear his voice if the Bible speaks to us, which it does? He's given us. This is one of God's greatest voices that speaks into our life. But when you combine the scriptures with prayer, powerful things happen. And the Bible speaks into all areas of humanity. It gives us guidance. It gives us wisdom. It reveals who God is and his desire to be with us. But it speaks the Father's general will in our lives. It doesn't help in the specifics, the details of what you might be going through. It will give you direction, and he will lead you into it, but we need to combine hearing God's voice in the scriptures with hearing his voice in other ways too. And we'll get more into this, but you say, okay, Craig, if God still speaks today, why do I need to hear his voice, and how would I recognize it? Well, that's kind of where we're headed this morning in this message. So why don't you bow your heads, and let's just begin this with prayer. Well, Lord, we begin by recognizing the Trinity. We've been singing about it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And just in the nature of who you are, there is communion happening in a way that is mysterious and profound. One God, but three persons. And it tells us that there is communication. It tells us that there is love. And this is the very nature of who you are. And when you call us as men and women to become sons and daughters, that's what you're calling us into. Communion, communication, love, affection. So, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you will give us fresh ears to hear. That's why, Jesus, you spoke, those who have ears to hear. Well, they had ears, but could they hear the spiritual things, the truths that penetrate the heart and soul? Let that be this morning, and help break through barriers that keep us from hearing you. And Lord, I pray you speak through me. I am just a man and weak in of the flesh and body, and yet you are powerful. And so I just humble myself before you and say, you speak the things that you once spoken, and everything else be forgotten. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 3 points this morning. The first one is why we really need to hear the shepherd's voice. Jesus talked about being the good shepherd, right? David was a shepherd and wrote half the Psalms of the Bible and heard God's voice, yet still needed others to help him hear God's voice in the way of advisors and prophets. But listen to just, as I was thinking about just why do we need to hear God's voice, just Psalm 23. Just reading that just speaks volumes of why we would want the shepherd to speak into our lives. The Lord is my shepherd. David wrote this psalm, and it's prophetic of speaking of Jesus Christ who was to come, as well as his own understanding of a shepherd and himself as the Lord's sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Ah, man, why? Because he satisfies my true needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He provides for me. He refreshes me. He brings living water to my soul that nothing else on earth can. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He helps me become the person he designed me to be. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. The shepherd, I need to hear his voice because he guides me. He protects me. There is an enemy out there who frightens me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. He not only protects me, but he provides for my needs and anoints me with his Holy Spirit. He fills me like a cup with his joy. Verse 6, surely goodness, and some read mercy, it also literally means steadfast love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He leads me, he protects me, he generously provides for me, but most of all, he loves me. and he will never leave me. Do I need to hear this shepherd's voice? Turn to John 10. And it's used a lot in speaking of this, and I thought I wanted to, it's always fun to anchor hearing God's voice in new and fresh ways. And looking at this with fresh eyes, there's some things for me that really were helpful to read again. There is nothing in Scripture where I go, I've read it, been there, done that, I'm done. And this is such a beautiful passage. Jesus is teaching about this very idea of the shepherd and his voice. And he says in John 10, verse 4, when he has brought me out, and he's talking about the sheep, hearing his voice, and he says, when he is brought out, talking about the shepherd now, when the shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, if you were to jump further on, and this verse often isn't read in talking about this, hearing his voice, in verse 27, later in the chapter, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. Do you know what's sandwiched between those two verses of hearing his voice? And this speaks to why we really need to hear the shepherd's voice is verse 10. So it's all about hearing and knowing and following him. How often we take this verse and not even out of the context of a shepherd, but Jesus says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Are you wanting to hear the shepherd's voice? So, let me give you just, this isn't comprehensive, but it's, let me give you just five reasons for hearing. First of all, hearing the shepherd's voice is a game changer. It's a game changer. In John 4, Jesus says, When the shepherd has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And so it's a game changer because he's leading us somewhere. He's wanting to be a part of our lives. And there's this life he wants to give us that is abundant and it's full. But we'll only find it in following him. We don't hide out in the sheep pen. But he calls us out because he's taking us somewhere. And we want to hear the Father's will for our lives. We won't know it unless we follow the shepherd to the places he's wanting to take us. But at the same time, in verse 10, it's not just this abundant life he's wanting to lead us into, to give us. And this is a life that the world can't give us. Whatever the world gives us is temporary and not lasting. It's only satisfying for the moment and not for eternity. This is the abundant life the shepherd wants to give us. But also, too, not hearing his voice leaves us at the mercy of the thief. There are many voices speaking into your life. You see, we think sometimes if life's just going okay in the moment, we're good. But as there is a constant voice of the enemy, the thief is a figure of speech for Satan. And what is Satan trying to do? He's trying to eliminate everything that God has for you. He's trying to steal it. He's trying to kill whatever inside you has hope. He's trying to destroy you in your relationships. He is the subtractor of everything that is good. And he leaves you ultimately with nothing. And so we need, in the same breath, Jesus talked about the thief versus his own voice. We need his voice because there is one that wants us to become self-serving and ultimately be harmful to the lives of others like he is, right? Third, The shepherd speaks into all areas of our life. Listen to verse 11. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and steadfast love shall follow you all the days of your life when you follow the shepherd. He himself and his character is good, and he wants to bring goodness into your life. Not meaning bring everything you want and desire. He'll take believers, he'll take the sheep, he'll take followers through tough times, but even in those become a blessing in an unforeseen way. Even when he allows the bad stuff to happen, he doesn't create it, but he'll use it to bring what? Good. He works all things for good. Not all things are good, but he'll work them out that way. He wants to bring love in our families and friendships. He wants to bring guidance in our parenting of children. We need to hear his voice. Boy, every parent goes, man, I need a little guidance, right? How about from the good shepherd? He wants to actually bring, get this, people, success in your careers. Jesus spoke more in the marketplace than he did in the temple. He wants to deal with our fears and anxieties. He wants to give certainty in our sexuality where there is confusion. He wants to bring transformation of our attitudes that will ultimately, so they'll glorify God. He wants to bring direction in our decisions. He wants to heal the brokenness within us for the sake of others. He wants to bring freedom from the lies of this thief who tells us to listen to him. The point is, he speaks to build a relationship with you. He speaks for the benefit of all things in your life. Is this the good news? There are things he wants to remove from you, and in the sense of there's addition from subtraction. He wants to remove the sin and the addictions. He wants to remove the burdens, the wrong attitudes, and lead you out of prisons. There are things he wants to give you. He wants to give you forgiveness. He wants to give you freedom. He wants to bring the fruit of the Spirit of, you know, the love, joy, peace, gentleness, all that cool stuff. This is what he's wanting to do, and it happens when we listen to him. Amen. There are things he wants to teach you. There's places he wants to take you. The point is, he wants to be your companion in your everyday journeys. He wants to go through this life with you, with you, with you, with you. Fourth reason, people will experience a better version of ourselves when we hear his voice. David wrote in Psalm 139, one of my favorites, he said, at the end of the psalm where he's just amazed that God's with him and knows him and knows his thoughts, that God knitted him together and created him. And then he says in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That is a prayer saying, I invite you in. I want to hear what you have to say. I want you to see what I cannot see, even the crummy stuff. I want to know, I want you to search my heart because I don't even know my own heart sometimes. Help me become the better version of myself. How many of you would like a soul exam? I do, because I know he's good. He's not out to condemn me. A couple of weeks ago, I had to go to the optometrist. I have a new doctor, Dr. Karina, for an eye exam. And it'd be like saying, no, I don't want you to check out my vision. I don't really want to see very well, right? No, we want Jesus come in our lives and like a optometrist and look at, you know, and look at our hearts and lives. And it would be weird to not want this. And so, but this new doctor, they, you know, they're checking for glaucoma, macular degeneration, which run in my family, cataracts, and they do, and they dilate the eyes, and I got a scar in my retina, and so she's looking at my eyes, but she was different than the other doctors I've had. She just starts like, just by looking at the eyes, and she's calling out, oh, I see, you know, hey, you got good circulation, I see your peripherals, and she's saying, it was just really, I see this, and I see you know, you don't have this, and this is good, and we're going to watch this, and oh, I see the scar, man, it's good, it wasn't right in the center, and she's looking, and she's just telling me everything about it, but even on the back of my eye, and I'm thinking, man, she's good. So then, as she's coming to the end of it, I say, hey, while you're looking in my eyes, could you tell me how my soul is? Because, you know, they say the eyes are the windows to the soul. She bust up laughing. And she's going, nobody has ever asked me that one before. And after she finished laughing, in a straight face, she said, absent. Your pastor's got no soul, man. Doctor said so. And so that's what we want Jesus to do with us, right? And so prayer is this intimate relationship where we get filled out and we become this better version, not a second-rate version that we're offering to our friends, to our spouses, or even our kids. Man, that's why we got to hear and listen to the things the shepherd is saying. And the fifth and last one is communion with God needs communication with Jesus. I thought that was good, by the way. There should have been great applause on that one. Communion with God needs communication with Jesus. And so prayer is meant to be this conversation. It's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. And I lived so many years following Jesus, I didn't even ever realize that. It was a monologue where I bring my prayers before him, I petition him, I intercede for others, I'm praying. But it's like we cannot follow all the things the shepherd has for us if we do not listen to his voice. John 10:3, another verse we haven't read. Jesus says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by what? By name, and leads them out. It's personal. He knows you. Look at verses 14 and 15. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Wow. You're saying, Jesus, we can know each other like you and the Father know each other? I can't get my brain around that, but that's pretty intense. And you want that? Oh, yeah, you know me. You know my name's Craig. You knew it before I was born, right? So who are you listening to these days? What voice are you listening to? Listen. Would they lay down their life and die for you because they believe what they're telling you is so important? Yeah, this is so important. Would you die for it? I doubt it. I know they wouldn't. This is the one that is trying to speak to us and lead us. So let me ask you, which of these reasons is most compelling for you to want to listen? Pick one. Hold on to it because it's true. Yeah, my voice is holding up so far. Means I can yell louder. So you were created for this kind of relationship. And now some people feel like, yes, God still speaks, but I don't hear his voice. And their faith starts feeling a little more mechanical than inspired. Maybe it, does it feel more like religion than a relationship? Right? Some, and the reason is some don't hear God because they compare themselves to others that they think or know hears God. And you start getting into the comparisons, and it's like that's not, God's not replicating the same relationship with every person. And he speaks in many voices in ways that we do not understand. And that's another point. You need to know he is spirit. God is spirit, it says. And so, yes, he can take on flesh and speak with an audible voice, but he speaks to us in many ways, and each of us differently. And he can speak to us in circumstances and visions and dreams. He can speak to us through prophets and messengers. But the primary way I want to focus on this morning is he speaks to us through his word and the whispers of his spirit. And we all can hear those whispers. And so if there is something in you that has settled into this place saying, I can't hear God, I want to speak against that in Jesus' name. It's just that maybe you're not recognizing his voice because he is speaking. So that brings us to our second point, the kind of heart that grows to recognize his whispers. And this is something, and maybe I put different words to it in the past, I don't know, but this is something I have gleaned from my life and I use in my own life to hear God's voice because, and especially as I maybe share as stories of as I have time, I too, half the time going around, I don't hear God's voice. Is that true, Jill? You didn't have to say it so emphatically, all right? And no, this was not staged. And so I think all of us come to this place where we're like, I don't hear God. I mean, did you hear what they just said? It's like, holy moly, and compared to that person. But then I come back to these things. I come back to the five encouragements, I mean, and I come back to this place and it builds me back up knowing, okay, I too can hear God. And I wanna bring them to you from one passage instead of drawing from lots of different ones, especially. But open up to Isaiah 50. Isaiah was a prophet. And actually, much of what Isaiah wrote by the inspiration of the Spirit when he listened to God is quoted by New Testament writers. And just something kind of a way of background, there is in Isaiah what's called the four servant songs. And these servant songs are prophetic words about the coming of the servant on behalf of God, who is Jesus Christ. But it also, the words that not help us not only know Christ, but we are to become Christ-like and help encourage us too. And so in the second, this is the second, the third servant song. And I want to read it out of the NASB because I feel like it helps capture a little better what I want to draw out as the five encouragements. And so let's read it. The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples so that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear. I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. A disciple is one who believes in God, but a disciple is more than a believer. A disciple is one who listens and follows and obeys the one that is leading them. And that's isn't that what we want to be? More than a believer, but a disciple. And so the first encouragement is The kind of heart that grows to recognize his whispers is one who studies to know and live the scriptures. That is the starting place. And we read in there the tongue of disciples in verse 4, with a word. So in other words, this disciple is well-schooled in this Old Testament scriptures. The student is learned from his teacher the truth and the ways and character of God. And so it is important that we read our Bible with the intent of living it. So we read it and study it, that it transforms us in the way we live our lives. Amen. And I love how this opened when it's in the Hebrew, where the first words are the Lord God. And that is putting the word, Hebrew word Yahweh, with the word God. And it's like Yahweh is the personal name of God. This isn't just there's a God and I want to know his truth in the Ten Commandments. This author is letting us know he is God, but he is Yahweh, the holy, unspeakable name of God. And that is, he is personal. And he's calling you into a relationship, and it begins with his word, the truth. The scriptures are the only objective word of God. Everything else I can kind of try and translate and interpret in subjectively and apply to my lives, but the word of God is for every person and every culture of every generation. It is eternal and is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so many of God's promptings will guide you as you read the scriptures themselves. They'll speak into your lives in such powerful ways. Scripture and prayer are the most powerful weapons we have and the greatest encouragement in living our lives. The more you know the scripture, the greater the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to whisper something to you for your own sake, a blessing, or for the sake of someone else. I love God's word. It is like honey on my lips, as the psalmist in Psalm 19 would say. I was just one example, and so I was invited with a couple people to come pray for the elders and spouses at another church, and when I walked in, and a little nervous about, to be honest, about being put on the spot and to pray, and this church is very into prophecy and wanting, you know, those high expectations, and I'm going, I don't hear God. You know, when am I going to pray, right? But I know that's a lie of the enemy, and so I walk in, and one of the elders couples, when it comes time to pray, look at the wife, and I just, for some reason I see, I don't visually see, but it's like there's a wall between her and the Lord, and then in my mind comes, because I love the scriptures, comes like, you know, I'm like, isn't there a wall in the Song of Solomon? You know, doesn't the Song of Solomon mention a wall? And sure enough, you know, as the other people are praying, open up. And in chapter 2, behold, and it's talking about the beloved, which could be prophetic of Jesus Christ. Behold, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, looking through the lattice. There's a barrier, right? And that's what I was sensing, a barrier, you know. And so I read on, and then it goes on to say, my beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing has come. Spring is here. And it's like the Lord says, that's what I want to do for her. And so I just simply say what I see, this wall that's been between you, a lattice, and I read the scripture, but here's what the Lord wants to speak into your life now. I didn't think much of it. And just last year, years and years, 5, 6 years later, bump into the elder, and he says, you know, by the way, that is still impacting my life today. That was, he didn't use these words, a game changer. Right? How do we need to hear God's voice? So saturate yourself in the scriptures. Study them, know them. Second encouragement. The second kind of a heart that will grow to recognize his voice. One that meets the Lord in the quiet of the morning for prayer. Back in Isaiah, in the passage we just read, it says, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens me morning by morning. You know what's important about meeting the Lord in the quiet of the morning is his voice is quiet. He doesn't shout you awake. This Isaiah is saying we want to be those that it's like, okay, man, I'm beginning this day with you, Lord, listening. Let's have a conversation. And we're not going to read this, but in 1 Samuel chapter 3, that's a great story of what the Lord's voice is like, because Samuel, when he's just a young boy, I think it's 8, and he starts serving in the temple under the priest Eli, it's nighttime, and he has the duty of attending to the candles and the temple, and Eli the priest is in another room. Eli is ancient, man. This guy's old. And you know, man, so his voice is not a strong voice. And he's in another room. And the Lord speaks, calls out to Samuel. Samuel thinks, oh, it's Eli. And he runs, yes, the master. And he's like, you called for me. And it's like, no, I didn't. This happens 3 times. This is the voice of the Lord, like an old man speaking from another room. Right? But an excellent passage on this is in 1 Kings. And many of you know them, but know this, but let's hear this with fresh ears again. And so in this passage in 1 Kings 19, we have Elijah. And Elijah has just, God has spoken to him, and he withheld the rain. He speaks again, and the rain comes, and he defeats the prophets of Baal. And Queen Jezebel says, by the end of the day, man, you're dead. And he runs out of fear and flees, right? It's so encouraging, isn't it? That we can have this amazing mountaintop moment with God. And then the next moment, we're all full of fear and anxiety. And then we have to laugh at ourselves. Really? Really? And so, but the point I want you to hear in this, I'm just going to read verses 12 and 13, because God tells him that he's going to appear and stand before him. And God comes and passes before him in a great wind that's just tearing the mountain apart and the rocks and the wind that, you know, in an earthquake. And then we read in verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. God wasn't in all the big dramatic stuff. He was manifesting himself, his power and who he is, but that's not where his voice was. But after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Do you know in the Hebrew that is called a thin silence? Can't quite call it silence, but it's a thin silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the cloak, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? That's what it's like. We have to hear him and expect his voice not to be shouting. Some people are always searching for God in the earthquakes and expecting the relationship with him always to be fireworks from heaven. Don't do that. Does it happen? Yeah. Have I experienced it? Yeah. But that's not communion. That's just God showing up powerfully. And the problem is, if you have expecting fireworks all the time, you're going to be missing the deeper relationship that is only found in a quiet conversation. Amen? Even Jesus makes this point in John 12:19. Matthew 12:19. And actually, Jesus quotes this from the first servant song in Isaiah. And he says, he will not, and he's speaking of himself, he will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Jesus came not shouting to get our attention. If we're going to hear him, you can't even hear him in the hustle and bustle of the streets in the marketplace. He comes quietly. Can he shout? Yeah. Do you want him to? You really don't. But you do want to hear him speak quietly. Mother Teresa actually heard nothing from the Lord for 10 years of seeking him. She was ministering to the sick and the hungry. She desperately wanted to hear from God and heard nothing for 10 years. And she decided in her heart, quote, she said, even though I don't feel his presence, I will seek to him as he has never been loved. How cool of an attitude is that? Even if I don't hear him, I'm going to show him I love him by showing up. Eventually, she began to hear him in profound ways, brought ceasefires between nations to help the poor. We know the lives she's impacted. It's like, but we need to be listening for this quiet, still voice. The third encouragement is one who awakens with expectancy for the Lord to speak. Back in Isaiah, we read, he awakens my ear. He awakens my ear. And we all know from Jeremiah 29, then you will call upon him, then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, right? But even Jesus in Luke chapter 11, doesn't he say, and I tell you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Is that not words of expectation? Did Jesus not say that this would happen if you want it? Is this encouraging to you? Is it breaking down those barriers that keep you from going there? And so you wake up in the morning, not just to have a conversation and listen, but there needs to be a heart of expectancy. Now, not expectation in a sense that if he doesn't, and then I give up, because that's what gets me messed up. If you don't speak in a way I hear you, that just means you're done with me, or I am somehow, you're disappointed in me, or I just am a loser or whatever. Not that I think those things, but they can get in your head and keep us from hearing. And so we have this expectancy. I made the mistake one Sunday morning when the church was first starting. We had someone else speaking, and it's like, and I'm praying, you know, they're, it's, and I'm praying for the morning, and I hear this word, just one word, leave. It was kind of early in my journey. It's like, leave. It's like, I knew it. God's really mad at me now. He wants me leaving the church. But I know that's not the case. He's a good shepherd. So I left, walked out. And I found a young man in the lobby where we were, our church was meeting at the time, just standing there by himself, and I struck up a conversation with him, which led to his own inviting Jesus in his life, and he got baptized. I got to do his wedding, and it's like one word from the Lord is a game changer, people. And it takes men and women that will listen. Fourth, listen with a teachable attitude of a disciple. Again, in Isaiah 50, it said, to listen as a disciple. A disciple has the attitude of, I can still learn things. Do you understand this? Sometimes we get to this place where it's like, I've heard it all. I know it. You know? It's like, man, people, I go through life listening to the children in Sunday school. They got cool things to say sometimes. Let's have a heart that's teachable. David said in Psalm 43, verse 10, he said, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. I love that. And fifth, follow through on the last whisper you heard. In Isaiah, in the servant song, and I was not disobedient. We even kind of hear this, and we hear this in John 10, verse 27. But you do not believe. Oops, that is not it. Oh, next verse. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The implication is they obey me in the things where I'm going. They follow me. And so too often, to be honest, the world goes silent on us because he's spoken and we didn't really want to receive it. We didn't want to hear it. We didn't want to obey it. And so we kind of push it off into the subconscious level, and then we go on life, okay, Lord, good morning. What do you want to say? And it's silent. When that happens, I ask the Lord, Lord, what did I miss? What was the last thing you were wanting to speak to me? Matter of fact, Jesus says in Luke 11, verse 28, I'll just read it up here. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. How important it is to keep it. Now, I'm not going to take time in this last part. You can flip your outlines over the ways to discern the shepherd's voice. But there are other voices, as I said in the beginning, and it is important that we have a way to discern the shepherd's voice, a way to make sure it's in this quiet voice, it's not Satan who tries to imitate, or of the voices of others trying to give us their own wisdom. And so the ways to discern the shepherd's voice is first, and I'm just going to rifle through these. Does it conform to the content of the scriptures? In other words, does it align up with what the Bible teaches? Too often, our hearts are deceiving. We think, oh, I know this is what the Lord has for me. Oh, I know he wants this relationship for me. Or I know he wants me to take this job or to go to this place or not to take this job or not to have this relationship because she's just not pretty enough, or, you know, just junky stuff. Then we check to see, is what I'm hearing or sensing, does the scripture back it up? Does it support what I'm saying? Second, does it reflect the Spirit of Jesus? When I say the Spirit of Jesus, I mean not just his character. You know, it's kind of like, do you know the Lord well enough to know that, yeah, what this says is pushing me, nudging me right towards him? And by the way, his voice, you know, can come as a quiet whisper in our hearts. And I just to kind of generalize for a moment, I think a lot of times, and not even fairly, by the way, I think the women would say, oh, I just kind of hear him in my heart whispering this. And for a lot of the guys, it's more like, yeah, I got the nudge in my gut. I just, you know, yeah, it's down in the bowels of my body that I feel like I'm supposed to blank and do this and say that. It's like, and actually it's kind of interesting because in the Jewish culture, it was the intestines that they felt the deepest things, not the heart. So guys, I don't want you to be thinking, okay, I got to hear this audible voice or I got to hear these words. Sometimes it's just, yep. I feel the Lord is saying, you know, in my gut that, you know, we got to go ahead and do this and that. Okay? A little more freedom in hearing God, right? It's not like you might be hearing others in the way they hear. But could you imagine, you know, reading an email when I talk about this, the Spirit of Jesus, you know, or having a conversation and then you get home and you're just kind of all wound up and it's like it's totally bugging you and you pray about it and it's going, yeah, Jesus, like, yeah, I'm worried about this too. We got to do something. I don't think you should go to bed until after you've emailed right back now and because this is bugging me and it's like, and me and Jesus, we're all worried about all this, so let's take care of this right now. Is that the Spirit of Jesus? Jesus is one of peace. When that happens, when I'm like, no, I'm wanting to deal with something because I got the wrong kind of emotions going on me, I need to just settle down and pray and get in his presence, and maybe I need to wait upon it or listen to how he wants to speak. Because haven't you got yourself in trouble when you, in your prayer times or lack of prayer, we kind of move forward in a way that does not reflect the Spirit of Christ? Third, does it sound like wisdom from above? Does it sound like wisdom from above? So often we have in James chapter 1, we read about wisdom. And we read, if any of you lacks wisdom, in verse 5, ask God, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's a promise. But what's interesting is then it's like, well, what is that wisdom like? Well, turn over to chapter 3 because it talks about wisdom again. In chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, it speaks first to the contrary. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be discord in every vile practice. In other words, when the things that are of, or I didn't read 15, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, in unspiritual, demonic. So anything that's not wisdom of God, man, that's bad stuff and run from it. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure. God's wisdom brings purity. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's open to reason. It's willing to dialogue and think through things. It's full of mercy and good fruits and impartial and sincere. This is the wisdom. So what you're hearing, does it align up with wisdom from above, or is it coming from the pit of hell? Amen. And lastly, do spiritual people confirm it? And we're even in the kings had advisors. You know, it's like God puts us in a church with spiritually mature women and men. And we, including your pastor, should not be relying on just his own wisdom or what we're hearing from God. I run it through the elders, you know, and matter of fact, the elders love it. We have men and women will come and meet with them, and they're dealing with big choices and decisions or things that are going on. It's like, can we share this with you? And it's not that we're deciding what they're to do next, but it's like, yeah, let's all just pray and hear the Spirit together. There's only one Spirit. He's not going to be saying multiply different things. I like how one lady in the church, in her journey with God, desperately wanted to hear God's voice, and on her own thought she heard something that became a painful experience for her. And she felt like she doesn't hear God and certainly would never trust again what she heard. And she met with Jill, Sarah, and I, and we just started beginning a journey of healing from the things that had happened in her life. And then she started praying and telling us what she heard and just helped her. We basically helped confirm, yes, now you're hearing the voice of God. Sometimes we need to help each other hear, right? So let me close on this idea of communion with John, since we're in John 10, John 21, verse 17. Peter had to go through it, man. He had needed a heart that needed to be humbled. And what's interesting is he kind of went back to his fishing, kind of went off call for a moment and brought some disciples with him. And in the morning, as the day is breaking, it says, so we find that the sun's coming up, it's morning, just like the Isaiah was telling, that's the time to have a conversation with God so often. It's not the only time, but start your day at least with a prayer. And then we read in verse 17 after, and Jesus needs to talk with them. Jesus has already met Peter one-on-one. We don't know what was said in that conversation, but Jesus needs to talk with them again on this morning. And he says to Peter the third time, Simon, son of John. See, he knows his name. He calls him out. Do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. We need to hear the shepherd's voice. We need to help others do it. And I close with what Peter said in his own letter to you and me. Those who don't physically see Jesus Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. These words, I love them. They're precious to me. Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. See, communion is communication. Communication helps us know the love of the shepherd. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy. Matter of fact, that is like this idea of continually there's joy in you. It's this rejoice is continual with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So bow your heads. And on your sheet, I'm going to speak them out. Just Sarah and I wrote some conversation starters. Maybe it's as simple as, good morning, Lord. I'm listening. Is there anything you want to say or talk about? That's a good one. That's the best one. Just totally open. I'm listening. What do you want to say? Jesus, is there anything you want to remind me of today? With your heads bowed, just listen if there's something he says to you, even as I read these. Jesus, is there anything you want to remind me of today? Lord, is there anything you have asked me to do that I have not done yet? I pray, Jesus, speak something simple into each one of our hearts. Search me, O God. I know my heart and thoughts. Is there any offensive way in me? Jesus, what do you want me to know this morning? Jesus, is there anyone we need to especially pray for today? Lord, is there someone you want me to bless today and how? Jesus says, good morning. I'm hearing you. And let's just begin by hearing from him. He says, I love you. I've always known you. I made you. The Father has a plan for you before the creation of time, for you to walk in. And the power of my Spirit that empowers you. There is more. You will hear as you seek me with all your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.